tree houses, break them bushes, shred them shoes. Can't match the past with a mash these nubs. Wreck them trees like iron giant. Taco Bell is where my time went.
Would you like a fiesta ball? Cristobal, what's a siesta ball?
Low ride light takers and bouncers. Now roll up, wiggle like a basket brook. Hey, stickery clown, put your liquor bitch down. It's just like a joint, but it's bigger and brown. It's a blood. But yo, we don't smoke them. We soak them with our 40s open. Acting loopy in our hoofy, sipping on a doobie smoothie.
Hello and welcome to Wizard World Virtual Experiences. I'm Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics. We are streaming to you live on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube, bringing you that Comic-Con live to the comfort of your home with these incredible celebrity panels. You can also, though, nab some paid exclusive experiences, including one-on-one private video chats, custom recorded messages, and autographs, all on sale at wizardworld.com. This is a brand new website, so I hope you guys are checking that out. And they will be on sale all week, so continue to check that out. Even if you're watching a replay, you want to sign up for these once-in-a-lifetime experiences. I'm talking about once-in-a-lifetime favorite cast members, including Mr. Jeff Anderson, who unfortunately can't join us today due to a previous engagement, but he will be there for the private video chats, the autographs, and all that good stuff. So make sure that you sign up for them at wizardworld.com. Also, don't forget to check out the signed memorabilia and works of art from all our favorite artists and vendors from previous experiences and physical conventions. Those things you can check out at wizardworldvault.com. But ladies and gentlemen, it is my absolute pleasure to bring to this virtual stage from the cast of Clerks, the hit phenomenon. Let's start off first and foremost. She played Veronica. Let's hear from Miss Marilyn Gigliotti. Hey!
Hello!
Hello, hello, hello!
How are you?
I'm so good, I'm so good. Next up, we've got our favorite Chulies rep. Let's hear for Scott Schiaffo. Yeah!
Hello, hello.
What's going on? And last but certainly not least, our man inside, the guy that brings us behind the counter, as Dante Hicks, let's hear it for Brian O'Halloran.
Hey!
What's up? What's up? What's up? Hey, goodness. Jeff, Randall's got to watch the store. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've had to work too many days. He had to come.
Way to just refuse to come in on your day off as well. You should not. That is a real thing. Guys, it is so good to have you here. First and foremost, how's everybody doing? You guys, you know, handling 2021 well? Is everything good? Are we smiling?
Doing the best one can.
Of course.
Have to be appreciative of the good things that you do have, because many people have it worse.
So true. So very, very true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So as we are just getting ready to get started, we've got some fans that are tuning in from all over the globe here. But as we get, you know, signed up for all those guys, I've got some questions that I'm going to start off with, if you don't mind. First and foremost, this is one of the best, like, cult classic phenomenon movies of all time. The beginnings of a shared universe, the VUS universe is. Come on, man. You know it's right. Like, all the things that the MCU and the DCEU have tried to do, this movie was the foundation for that concept. Did you guys know at any point that this was going to be some expansive project? And when did you realize this?
No.
So simple. No, not even. Had no idea.
No, and you know, even when it was kind of happening, I think we didn't know, you know, until it's like, oh wow, it's continuing. It's still going. It's, you know, I think that's the only time that you can really tell.
I love that. Brian, what about you?
Doing it, making the film, and then the months after, because Kevin and Scott and Dave literally clipped and pasted together the film together. I was just hoping to get a VHS copy of something that I had done to show other friends and fans. Kids, ask your grandparents what a VHS copy is. And from there on, it just blew up. And the thing about it is, the real star of the movie, hands down, is the writing. With these words, with these topics that we got to discuss, and to some people's disgust, a lot of people found it funny and kind of went along with the humor that we were throwing out there. So it's now, you know, 27 going on 28 years almost of all this stuff. And it's great that people love it. And that we've been fortunate enough to work with Kevin to continue to work with him as well.
Of course, of course. Scott, what about you?
Had no clue, obviously. Was just hoping to be part of an indie that would get some attention. And it did that tenfold once it hit Sundance. That was all just amazing. But as far as the long-term thing, had no idea. That's all out of the mind of Kevin Smith, that he literally had stories continuing, and Mallrats is actually a part of that and was written. And apparently Dogma was written before Clerks. And so the guy just had this whole insane universe, you know, already going on. So watching it unfold has been a blessing to be a part of it, you know.
That's awesome. That's super awesome. I do want to give a shout out to all the folks that are watching. We've got folks tuning in from Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Washington, England, Ohio, New York, Georgia, Cali, Louisiana, Edmonton. We've got, let's see, who else we got? We got everybody on that one. That is like a ton of folks that are already tuning in, which is fantastic.
Where's our Aussie people?
Give it time. They'll be tuning in for sure.
It's 4 a.m.
You guys are worth it, though.
I can't do math. I can't do math. It's fair.
Actually, we already got a question coming in from Randy Schreiner. This one is for Brian. It's a two-parter. First, what would your dream role be in any movie? And second, were you supposed to be here today? Everybody wants to know.
Oh. Are you even supposed to be here today? Don't get me started.
As far as dream role, I would love to be of any part of the Star Wars universe, Mandalorian included. I'm talking to you there, Favreau.
Yeah. Twitter fingers, want, make that happen. Make it happen.
Listen, those people in the Star Wars universe, they at least need some sort of store. Maybe that someone works at. I don't know. I'm easy.
I got you. I got you.
I think we can all agree that we all love a part in that.
Right? Would you bring space lasagna?
Hey, I'll do that.
Scott, what's the Star Wars equivalent of Chewie's gum? What is that?
Man, I don't know, but. It would be odd colored, just like, you know, the drinks and whatnot.
Of course.
but I don't know. That would be cool to see.
I love
the dehydrated bits that Rey was given for the spare parts every time she had to. You need to try this rehydrated, better flavor of dehydrated food.
Stop drinking blue milk. It's bad for you. Let's try this. Right. That's amazing. Okay, so one of the things that I love about this movie is the fact that it's almost a series of vignettes that carries a narrative all the way through. And you guys are the literal stars that we meet first and foremost. And to kick off the movie with this kind of story, what did that feel like when you guys were reading that in the script to see, like, this is the energy, this is the vibe that this movie is going to have? Scott, I'm going to ask you first, because you're kind of the bad guy of the first vignette here.
Well, it's interesting because I was only ever given the Chewie's gum guy pages.
Okay.
So until I got my VHS screener, I had no idea what came before after at all. So, you know, I was, of course, blown away when I got to see the finished product. So as far as I didn't know right up until I got the VHS, I was only given the gum guy scenes.
Of course. They kept you in a box. No spoilers.
Yeah. Well,
no spoilers.
That, you know, that's not uncommon. That's a common thing. There was no need to give me the entire script, but.
I worked with M. Night Shyamalan in The Happening, and I had a part with John Leguizamo and a few other actors. And I literally was only given the scenes that I was in, which is a very common thing. Woody Allen is known to do it. Scorsese is known to do it as well. It was funny because I joked with M. Night Shyamalan as I'm seeing this crazy setup that's going on in one of the scenes. And I, you know, he came over, he was a big fan of Kevin's work and me being a part of Clerks and stuff. And we just got to talking. And I said to him, like, you know, I understand the scene that was given to me, but I'm kind of disappointed in what I'm seeing out here. And he gave me a kind of a look like, what do you mean you're disappointed? I'm like, I said, I thought I was working on the What's Happening movie.
No, it's a very different movie. From Raj,
D. I would have been like, yeah.
Yeah, that movie would have been dynamite, but that's not what you were doing at all. Oh, my God. Okay, so we've got a couple of questions already pouring in. We've got Gene Kepchaw Morzek. Love all of the VSQ movies, but are you even supposed to be here today? Knew that was going to repeat. And what is your favorite VSQ universe movie? That's the more important question. Which one is your favorite? I mean, obviously, if you pick Clerks, no one is mad at you because it's the foundation. But what is your favorite?
Scott?
Look, yeah, I was like, look at the thinking faces.
Man, I always really loved Strike Back.
That's a great one.
Just because it was such a wonderful, you know, Hollywood spoof on Hollywood farce, and everybody in that, the cameos are mind blowing, and they all are killer performances. I really enjoyed that film as a film, but of course, you know, I'm partial to the first film.
Fair enough, understandable. Marilyn, what about you?
Well, I always say I don't like having to pick one out of anything. And it's like whenever I do podcasts or such, it's like I'm always asked a question about a favorite of whatever it may be. And I'm like, I don't pick favorites. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick my top three.
Okay.
And I'm not going to put any order to them.
Oh, nice.
But obviously, nice. You know, Clerks is going to be one. And Chasing Amy and Jersey Girl.
Nice. Jersey Girl is not one that most people throw out there.
I know.
But it's a darling. I love it.
I like Heart.
Yes.
I think Jersey Girl got short shafted because you put in the credits directed by Christopher Columbus back then, everybody would have loved it.
Of course.
You know, it would have been, oh, this was so good. But because it said Kevin Smith and everybody was waiting for a Clerks 2 out of him, as opposed to a warm-hearted movie talking about fatherhood and stuff. And I know the time period that he was making that movie and his father had passed and stuff and him having his first kid himself. I knew where it came from. So I love how that movie is.
But
my favorite...
I was going to say, though, I think people kind of gave the bad connotation, though, because of the whole Bennifer thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, and that didn't help.
Yeah, that was such a long shadow.
Yeah, but I do love that movie, too. I like this movie because of how it's written, and I like the depth that Kevin went with the subject. I liked Dogma. I really enjoy Dogma. Mm-hmm. I'm with Marilyn here where I won't. Like say it's the top or something, but I really enjoy the writing on that one. I loved how the story was, you know, Strikes Back was, I felt Kevin's Cannonball Run kind of movie where, you know, a cross country race to get to something done with all these cameos popping up, getting to work with George Carlin, you know, it's just so many great things happened on those and just, you know, having worked on Clerks 2 where every day was another fun time. Like, well, this day we're taping a dance sequence with a whole parking lot full of dancers and me and Rosario dancing on the roof. Next day is like, we have a donkey show that we got to film. And the next day we're at a go-kart track all day, racing on go-karts. And, you know, there's days of those things was always what makes it fun for me as being a part of those films. Obviously the viewer has a different point of view.
Okay, so I gotta ask this question then. Is Dante Hicks the luckiest person when it comes to love interests in the VSQ universe? I mean,
if you poll the audience.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like
when you poll the audience, man, they're gonna say, yep.
can't you get somebody some love? Why is everybody?
I mean,
this is the one thing. I get it. This is not Brad Pitt. This is not, you know, the love.
You're a handsome chap. Don't do that to yourself.
You know what? I was going to say, it's like, you know, no. It's like, you're a handsome dude, okay?
And I'm at least 90% of what our audience is right now. You know what I'm saying?
We're average.
How can not anybody respect someone average looking getting someone as stunning as a Rosario Dawson? My girlfriend alone, like people still don't believe that this has been my girlfriend for 27 years. And so, you know, I gotta say that
you're lucky in real life as well. I get it. No, what it is, I'll tell you what it is. In reality, what it is, the reason that Dante Hicks gets the trash is because he had Veronica, who brought him lasagna.
True.
And he was going to slide. True. Like, okay, come on. Let's talk about this. Move over, Lois Lane. Screw you, Vicki Vale. The best superhero entrance of all time has to be Veronica showing up with the extinguisher. You know what I'm saying? So
I do love that, you know, that whole look that they, you know, going up on the refrigerator and all that kind of stuff. I really wish I was the one that shot the fire extinguisher.
Wait. No, we're looking behind the camera. It wasn't you.
No.
That's okay.
All movie right. magic.
I mean, maybe that's what
one
happens.
Day. Maybe one day I get to actually shoot it.
Listen, if I was you, I'd go to the Quick Stop right now. Just like, this has been years in the making. I deserve this. Okay, so Brian has asked the question, what's your favorite song off of the Clerks soundtrack? And that's a great question, because there are some hits that you guys have had.
There's a lot of good songs on that album.
Scott, what do you got? I mean, you're the music.
You know, I'm a big Alice in Chains fan. I think the Alice in Chains track. But what was really cool was there was a Bash and Pop song, which was Bob Stinson's band, who was from The Replacements, which they weren't, you know, as known. And the fact that Kevin popped that in always blew me away. But awesome. It's hard to pick anyone in particular, though. It really is. Soul Asylum were amazing, you know.
Yes. No,
that's
absolutely
I'm not going to pick.
the original soundtrack was all this one band that was local called Love Amongst Freaks, which their original opening song is theirs. But otherwise, you know, Violent Mood Swings is a great, great song. Every time I hear that, you can't help but crank that up. And that's the one thing I really enjoy about also Kevin's work is he really does take a lot of time to think about what music can be put into his films. Reading the current version of the new Clerks 3 script, he has a lot of musical cues that he's put through it that are just spot on.
And he gave a hint on the first one on social media already. So, I mean, it's like that. Once he did that, it's like it just goes on and on in my mind because I love that song.
That's awesome. Dustin, that was a little nod for you, sir. Stephen Goodwin wants to know, what are some of the strangest things that happen on set, whether that's strangers walking up or just random things happening? Obviously, those people that know the movie was predominantly shot at night while the store was open. Is that correct?
Well, closed.
It's supposed to be open, but
however, a lot of inebriated folks they just blew through the door anyway. That's one of the memories I have. There's a couple of people who came in and just didn't get what was happening and were, you know, a little out of it themselves, but that was pretty funny.
Right. There was a lot of the late night pack of cigarettes people, but there was always the opening question, "Hey, are you shooting a porno?" You know, "Hey, you guys shooting a music video?" You know, and saying the word "video" to Kevin, you could see Kevin's face was like, it's a film.
Come on, what are you doing?
Zach, there's actually somewhat of an homage to that in Zach and Miri.
Yes, that's amazing. Roethlisberger was all like, "Huck it, chuck it." That's so amazing. Okay, so this movie is kind of like the anthem of the come as you are generation. And it speaks to, you know, someone really being in a certain time place. Do you guys look fondly on that time period in your lives and kind of look at it and say, this was me too, or this was just acting? Which one is that for you guys?
Yeah, I would say kind of, you know, to some degree, it's like I do find myself in Veronica in many ways. And yeah, I mean, I have to say that that's like, man, that was our life. That was life at that time.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the time period and how that affected my life with pop culture, I've been a musician since I'm a child. So the music of the 90s, I was deeply ensconced in, which is why the soundtrack blew my mind when I saw what he got to pick. And film, at that point, you know, you had Tarantino blowing us all away, and so many really cool indie guys like Hal Hartley, Jim Jarmusch. So as far as the pop culture, yes, of course, I'm playing such a horse's ass that I didn't really have any. I'm not a fan of cigarette smoking. I never smoked. I had every other addiction, but it was easy to get in touch with somebody who loathed cigarettes. But aside from that, no.
Yeah, Scott, you were kind of, if we could just talk to you about your car's extended warranty, if that was a person, that was definitely you as the Chuli's guy. You pulled that off really well. What about you, Brian?
You know, I, at the time, just trying to be an actor, working in as many things as I could at the time, and just hustling and turning a side gig into my main gig, you know, every chance I could have gotten. I was working at a barware manufacturer an hour north of where the store is in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And then coming in to do this movie, you know, arriving there at the store at 10:30 at night, getting into makeup and wardrobe, and then filming from like 11 until, you know, 6 in the morning, and then helping Kevin open the store by 6, 7 a.m., wow. And moving all the filming equipment, wow, lights and whatever over to the video store, because the video store didn't open till like 11 a.m., I believe it was. So that kind of hustle, that kind of feel, we all worked for free. We all worked for, you know, what they call deferred payment. If the film should get bought, you may get paid, kind of thing. And that was that kind of feel, and, you know, of getting something together and being a part of something that was bigger than yourself.
Of course, of course. Oh my God, it's so great. The Wolf 359 asked the question. They kind of geared for Brian, but I want to share it for everyone. As someone who worked in retail, who watched Clerks every week to de-stress, what do you do to de-stress after work? So we'll start with you, Brian, and then we'll go around the room here.
Well, I'm just chuckling because there's a conversation like that in Clerks 2. And so you watch Clerks 2.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Oh, my grandmother's watching this, Brian.
Perfect stressor.
Oh, my God. That's so terrible. But, the toilet seat.
exactly. To de-stress, you know, God, it's been a year since I've had to stress about something to come home and de-stress about, because I've been nothing but home.
Right.
So to de-stress, you know, when I was getting together with friends, poker games are always great to distress. Visiting the town if we were at a con, that's always a lot of fun. Going to different restaurants, seeing the local flavor of towns is always a great de-stressor. But otherwise, you know, there's always RPGs online that are very helpful. Like, if I couldn't get my way in real life, I'm going to kill somebody in some game. You know,
that's the way to do it. Marilyn, what about you?
What I normally do is, like, I just sit and watch movies, Netflix, Hulu, you know, whatever. It's like, that's my de-stressor. That's what I like to do. I mean, I've even gone to the movie theater and I've been there all day, watched three movies back to back. I like going to the beach and just the calmness of the waves and things like that. So
you just like to experience things, and that just kind of,
well, I don't always get to experience, but
I'm sorry. I love you, Marilyn, so much.
I love you.
This is why we're doing virtual experience.
That is true.
There you go.
There we go. Scott, what about you? What are some healthy ways that you like to de-stress?
Yeah, well, for many two decades, it was a very unhealthy release. I was pretty lost in that, but thankfully that's over.
Yes, indeed.
As you can see, there's instruments all over. Thank you. It's a blessing, really. It's an unbelievable blessing. I never thought I'd be free of that curse. But as you can see, there's instruments abounding, and music has been my first real love and passion. And again, with the things we're fortunate to do, like they say, if you love what you do, it doesn't ever really feel like work. So I've got the studio and I've got wonderful people in my life. And after COVID, I started catching up on a lot of reading.
Nice. Anything in particular?
I've been reading lots of actor and musician bios and autobiographies and really getting into that. Literally a stack of them.
That's brilliant.
Super enjoying them.
I love that. All right. So I've got a like kind of a penetrating question here. And this one, Brian, you gotta jump lead on this one. Dante and his nail polish fetish thing, like him loving to do the ladies' nails. Where did that come from? Where do you draw your inspiration for that characterization, sir?
I drew it from real life experience.
Okay.
I dated a girl in high school, and it was just something that I picked up there, like just doing her nails. She's like, just too many nails. The girl was too busy with something else, you know, that type of thing. So then when it came to that night of filming that scene at the store with Marilyn, Kevin was like, all right, I need you to sit behind him and he's going to be, you know, we need to do something. And I just came up with, do you have nail polish? I could do your nails, like, since she's right here.
Right.
And he was like, all right, great. Yeah, right, great, good, cool, let's do that. And so that's what I did. It was cool to revisit that 10 years later with Rosario Dawson and make it something that it's a Dante. People are calling it a fetish. I wouldn't call it that, but something that he just does. As
no, one is. Not a fetish. No,
he doesn't
because
like it that
the
much.
Girls would love it.
Was he good at it, Marilyn? Was he good?
Well, the thing is, I actually, you know, because I had my nails done, and it's like I had a French manicure, and so we had clear nail polish, and so that actually kind of worked and made it work that way. So yeah, it was good.
Okay. I like that. John Palikios, I think. Hopefully, I didn't kill that too much. Ask a really tough question. Which ending do you prefer, the Randall your clothes ending or the Dante getting shot ending? Now obviously Brian, I know your answer. Marilyn, I'm really curious about
same
your
answer.
Oh, okay
same answer.
I just wanted to know
no killing, no.
Okay. Scott, how you feel it. okay I
just... yeah, well,
I remember when I read it,
I concur.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember when I read it in the script, I was like, what? Approaching this with Kevin, and he's like, well, you know, that's the irony of the whole thing, you know, is how crazy and ironic is this that he wasn't even supposed to be there that night and he gets killed, which is the reality of anybody who works in a bodega or a convenience store, a gas station store, of being held up and killed for any given moment. So I agreed. I was like, well, yeah, okay, I get it. And then he put the film together. The first screening of it was at a New York film festival called the IFFM, which is the International Feature Film Market, which is a film festival that doesn't exist anymore. And in that screening, it was shown with the original ending. And I remember eventually the film got into the hands of John Pearson, who became Kevin's producer's rep. And he convinced him, like, hey, you need to remove this ending. You're just getting your audience angry at you by killing off one of the main characters when it's really a comedy at the heart of it. And so it was removed from that point on. And when it was screened the four times at the Sundance Film Festival that following January, it was screened with just the ending here closed and the sheet being thrown at Dante. So that's the ending that went on to commercially. And, you know, we wouldn't have had Dante in the other movies.
That is true.
I thought it was a smart move. It's smart advice from John Pearson. It made, the movie more affable, I think, to everybody in the end. And here we are.
Okay. Now, I've always been curious about the sheet thing. Like, is that a normal Jersey thing to just ride around with a sheet in your trunk? I've always wondered that. Like, that just seemed very serial killer to me. Like, why did Dante just...
No, why does it have to be about murder? Maybe it's about love. Some guy likes to have sheets in the back of the car.
Hey, he had this 12. Okay.
It's the Jersey Shore.
Oh.
We use sheets for the beach.
Got you. Well, Marilyn just saved you for that one. That was
great.
Yo, that was virtual lasagna right there. That was brilliant. Oh, my God. Okay, so Sarah Foster asked a very wonderful question. Do you have any acting strategies or tips? And what did you do prior to being on set to get into character? That's a great one.
Wow.
Give me that question,
Scott,
again.
You're reading all the
Bible. Yeah, do you guys have any acting strategies or tips? And what specifically did you do on set to really kind of get into character?
Okay.
Wow. For me, a lot of homework in the sense of really having all of that dialogue down, because it's trimmed up a little bit in the Miramax cut. The Julie's Gum Guy stuff is actually a little longer in the uncut film, in the director's cut. But I knew when we rehearsed it, it had to be high energy. And like, I couldn't possibly go too big in Kevin's right. eyes. And a couple of times when we rehearsed it next door at the video store, like I really lost my mind. And like, I looked behind me and he was just like, you know, doing that to the folks who were watching it. And I'm like, okay, I'm on the right track here. Just tons. It was all, for my thing, it was all about start off subtle, but then it went to a really high energy place. And by the end of that, you know, we shot that maybe two or three times. And I was literally walking around the front of the store in a daze, because I lost my voice from all the yelling, but it was one of the best natural highs ever.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Marilyn, what about you?
Well, I mean, it's like when I started training for acting, I did various training techniques with the coach that I had at the time. And, you know, eventually it's like, it's not like you can remember everything, and it's not like everything is going to work for you. So you kind of start gravitating towards whatever does work for you. But for me now, what I do is like, I really look at the character and what is the character telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of go through the nuances. And when I first get something to memorize, and I'm terrible at memorization, I am thinking about the character,
right.
thinking about the moments that are actually happening. And that in turn later helped me to memorize the lines. But I'm just like, all right, she's doing this, and why is she doing it, and all this kind of stuff. And that was pretty much it for Veronica for me as well. It's like, and like I said, it's like there are many things about Veronica that I very much connect with, and bringing lasagna for her boyfriend, and just, you know, making sure that he knows, it's like, you can do this, you know, you're just, you know, just being there for the partner.
Of course.
So that's what it is for me.
I love that. That's brilliant. Brian?
Preparation for me, I mean.
Oh my God. Well, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God. What a crazy wow. surprise.
Nice surprise.
That is fantastic. Oh, so funny. How are you?
Oh my God. Dad's home, guys. Put the liquor away. Dad's home.
Oh, hello, gents. Welcome to the party. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Kevin Smith and Jay Muse. Hello, hello. How are you guys doing today?
So good. How is everybody?
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. Good. Good to see you here.
Yes, indeed. Thank you guys for joining us. This was a super surprise for everybody. Absolutely amazing. Are you guys doing okay? You guys handling 2021 well?
Me personally, yeah. Like, we were just on the last year around this time, we were about to wrap up the Jay and Silent Bob Reboot Roadshow tour. So we were on tour for like 4 or 5 months. So by the time the tour was finished, I was like, man, like, it'd be so nice to have a few months down. And then all of a sudden the quarantine happens. So I, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so this is your fault. That's what you're saying.
It's coming up on a year that you were actually shooting Reboot.
That's right. We were, it's coming up on, let me see, 2 years since we were.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah, like this Thursday is the 3 year anniversary of my heart attack. And then we started shooting Reboot on the 1 year anniversary of the heart attack. We finished the tour on the 2 year anniversary of the heart attack. Now the 3 year anniversary of the heart attack, I'm still alive. So woohoo.
Yes.
It's as we prep for So heart attack 3 years ago, started the movie 2 years ago, toured the movie 1 year ago. And this year, hopefully the late spring, early summer, we're back in front of the cameras. All these people you see here, plus more, for Clerks 3, ladies.
Yes, yes.
Snooch to the door.
We have budgeted. We have scheduled. We have now we're out for financing, so fingers crossed.
Yeah. All of that.
Camera soon.
Yeah, let's make that happen, people. Put all that good energy out there. Jay, how you been, man?
I'm good. You know, just hanging, doing stuff, hanging with the kids. You know, it's the quarantining with the school and all that has sort of changed things. Plus, I was so used to traveling. You know, I would travel for 5 days. I'd be home, then I'd leave. I'd come back, and it was sort of like I got used to the routine of that. Now I just been home nonstop, and again, I love it because I get to spend more time with the family. But it's, you know, it's adjustment to the routine. So, but everything's good. Everything's good.
No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So obviously, the fans are probably losing their ever loving minds right now.
Losing my mind.
Yeah. Like just kind of like. It's so amazing. So obviously, Kevin, we're talking about Clerks and we're talking about how the Viewsk universe is literally the framework of the shared universe. And it's so beautiful, so wonderful. The closest thing as a predecessor to it is the John Hughes movies. But you guys take that to another level. Was that always your intention?
John Hughes, when I was a kid, he never, you know, sat down and said, this is the Hughesiverse or anything like that.
Right.
All of his movies, there was a little shout out or reference to Shermer, Illinois. It either took place there or Shermer High School. So the movies were kind of loosely tied together. And when I started making my flicks, like once I knew I was making more than one, I felt like, oh, I could interconnect them. They could all take place in the same area. Like it's all, you know, kind of central New Jersey. So why not kind of interconnect them? So it wasn't like necessarily the intention at the start. It really came into fore on Mallrats when we did reshoots for the opening sequence. But Jay and Silent Bob, of course, were in Clerks and then Mallrats. And so there was a tie, but there was really not that much of a reference to Clerks until we reshot the opening sequence of Mallrats. It talked about Julie Dwyer dying in the pool. And then that firmly locked us into that Viewsk universe, as it were. And then in Chasing Amy, we started referencing back to the other movies and stuff. So soon I just started chaining them all together. It made sense to keep them all in the same world. And then, of course, years later, Marvel did that, and everybody's like, Marvel owes you money. And I'm like, I owe them money. I stole from the comic books. Like, basically, it was a comic book property idea that I kind of interconnected my movies for. So the fact that they're doing it now is just like, yes, as Brian said before, dad's home. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. No, that's fantastic. Listen, we got a great question. Cody Ryan, KO5. This is for everybody to kind of dump on Kevin right now. The question is, what is he like as a director? Is he one more take, 30 takes later, okay, we're good? Or is he a little bit more chill to make this happen? Let's hear it. Let's get the dirt. What's the word?
I'm trying to remember. It's like, because and I've always had this thing whenever I am on set, and in the very beginning I'd be like, well, are they going to say anything to me? It's like, and then I realize it's like, if they're not saying anything, it's like, you're doing it all right, you know. So that was one thing for me. But I enjoyed working with Kevin because I don't know, I think I feel he understands the actor. So, you know, but it's like, honestly, I can't remember. It's
Marilyn was so like, when we were doing Clerks, we rehearsed for 3 weeks straight. So by the time we got to set, everyone had like one, maybe two takes tops, like, because we were so rehearsed, we'd rehearse it like a play. So Marilyn only got to do like one, max two takes.
Wow.
Anything we did, same with Brian, same with Jason.
Except for me, man.
Yeah, you've got as many as
the one. The one that I do remember that we did have to do, and we had to kind of split it up, was my tirade on Brian. That I do remember. But it's like, for me, honestly, I've even had to say, it's like, you know what? I want to do it again. Because they'd be like, okay, let's move on. But I'm like, no, wait a minute. I want to do it again. I can do it better.
I am so no David Fincher. Fincher was known for like doing exhaustive amounts of takes. And I'm the other guy. I'm like, let's get out of here as quickly as possible. I'm always, after years and years of doing this, you know, you become conscious of this is such a self-serving practice. It's very masturbatory. It's like I made up a story. I'm telling everyone where to stand and then watching them like a dirty cuck and stuff. And so over the years, I've gotten to this place where I'm like almost embarrassed of being a director. I mean, most people that, you know, fucking don't like my shit are like, we understand, we're embarrassed to be. But the idea of like, it's a, basically you've infantilized yourself as an adult. It's a child's, it's child's play. Like you make pretend and you're like, I know exactly how this should be, do it my way. All of it, the older I get, I'm 50 now, I'm like, God, this is such a, like a self-serving, head up my own ass kind of way to make a living. So because of that, I always try to get people off set as quickly as possible, because the longer we're there, the more guilt I feel that like making pretend and they're saying these stupid things that I wrote. Like, you know, it's the least I could do is get everybody home as quickly and as early as possible. So I tend not to do a bunch of takes. The older I get, the even more so I become more like Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood, man, gives you one take and then they move the
You're done.
So I, you know, that's the closest I'll ever be in any way, shape, or form to Clint Eastwood. Like keeping the day as tight and as short as possible.
I love that. I love that. Okay, like real quick before I give him his roses, Jay, if you could turn your camera around for the landscape, because we want to see what that is behind you. Is that like a Justice League joint? Oh my God. That is amazing. Okay. I just had, like, me personally, I had to geek out about that a little bit, but I wanted to let you know, literally Jessica Tyler says, oh no, what? No, I didn't mean for that to happen. Jessica Tyler says, OMG, I've been sober 6 months and I was introduced to Jay Muse and Kevin Smith when I first started my road to sobriety. Jason's story made me realize I could get sober and stay sober. So thank you. You all rock. And you are a true icon for that sense of delivery, sir. And I want to give you those roses because I think that's something so important for everyone to know that you can, of course, you know, overcome things. Scott, you were just talking about that yourself. And that's just such a wonderful thing. So definitely thank you for that as one of the most prolific public figures to, you know, make that change. That's awesome, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. One of the last things that I've got for you guys, this is so crazy. So this is from Mark Flanders and Kim Flanders. Says, I was managing a video store when Clerks blew up. It was fun watching the word of mouth and we recommended the hell out of it. A really great moment was when we screened it after the store closed. When I was dating my wife, it was one of the first VHS movies, VHS kids, ask, look it up, Google it, you'll find out, that we watched together, and she stayed 24 years later. So 24 years of bliss, sir. This is all of you guys put this together. And this is just one story out of, I'm sure, millions of people that have been touched by your work. And you guys have been absolutely fantastic the whole ride. This has been amazing. Absolutely amazing. We can't wait for Clerks 3, sir. I'm just going
to say we're not done.
Yes.
We still got places to go with it. I you know, honestly, the people that you see on this screen are the people that dream my dream for me. You can't think of a more powerful a gift to give another individual than to help them dream their dream. And yeah, everyone, you know, kind of
reciprocal
to some degree, but it is reciprocal. And like, you know, I'm bonded to these cats throughout the rest of my life. I may not see them every day or speak to them every day in person, but I see them all around my house. Cause this is the house that Clerks built, as you would imagine. And I think about them all the time because their images like adorn my walls, and they are the brick and mortar of everything that I've done in the last like 27 years. So I can't wait to get back on a set. We got a really beautiful, funny movie cooked up for you for Clerks 3, man. And everybody gets a showcase. So I can't wait for you to watch a bunch. When we started this, we were kids. We were in our 20s. Now, all of us are 83, and we're still going to make it happen.
Well, I promise you, next time you come to Columbus, Ohio, Studio 35, I'm going to be there. But I want to give you guys an opportunity to say bye to the fans. So, Brian, we'll start with you, and we'll just kind of go around the room as I'll throw you guys in there.
Well, thank you, first of all, for Wizard World Entertainment for hosting us on this, and surprising me by bringing Kevin and Jay on. This is awesome, and I can't wait to get together with these guys again. And this world is based on, like Kevin said, all these people coming together and believing and telling the stories that we have over the years. So thank you to Wizard for putting this together. Thank you for the fans for coming out. I've been watching this on my Twitch as well, and just seeing all the comments on Twitch just alone has been really amazing.
Love it.
And getting to see that the love for this universe continues to this day. I mean, I always have Kevin just over my shoulder at any given moment. So as Kevin says, he sees us every day. I cannot help but see Kevin all around me, and Jay and Scott and Marilyn and everybody. So this is the world I've been fortunate enough to live. The store right there and everything. And,
love it.
It's amazing. So thank you.
Do you see that behind me, bro? That's a little black and white version of the store. I don't know if I can get closer because I'm hardwired in, but
that's brilliant.
Right.
Crazy for culture.
Love it.
Gorgeous.
Is that Legos?
No, it's like somebody sculpted it and it's in black and white. The detail is crazy. Anyway, back to you, sir.
It looks amazing. It looks amazing.
I love when fans make fan art in such amazing mediums, paintings and sculptures. And I've seen stuffed animal kind of Dantes. It's like weird and wonderful stuff. I have a bunch of it behind me here, and it's always great to see it and to see it continue as it does. I love it. So I want to thank Kevin and Jay and Marilyn and Scott and Jeff, who couldn't be here today, but you can guys can talk to him all this week if you purchase your shots. And I can't wait to get on set again and just spout the wonderful dialogue that Kevin writes for these characters, movie after movie after movie.
So 100%.
I look forward to it. I'm going to just say that if you want to find me on the socials, that's the best way. That's my podcast that I have, the Ohala Rant. There's also my own personal socials right there.
Of course.
Thank you again. And
hey, how are you doing all this magic?
Listen, he's got all the buttons, man.
I know.
Follow and subscribe. Well, right now.
Jay, you got me started on all this. So when you were like, yo, join Twitch. And so then I had to learn OBS and StreamYard and all this other stuff. So
you see how he's blaming you, Jay? You see how he's like, it's your fault.
It's great.
You did this.
I'm crediting him. I went
I'm not set up like that.
I got the whole TV production school learning going on in my basement. So
I love it.
You had to do something. Otherwise, I literally probably would have murdered 5 people in my town if I didn't have this kind of creative outlet.
See, so, and then you look at me while I'm asking about the sheet in the back of the truck, and that's what you said. Okay, I'm just throwing that out there.
Don't need a sheet when you live in the woods. You just bury them. That's it. You don't need the sheet.
The feds are listening. Scott, what about you, sir?
I want to thank Wizard World and echo something Kevin had said. I say this a lot, you know, his dream came true with that film, but all of our dreams came true with that film. And I wanted nothing more at that point in my life than to become a working character actor. And the Chuli's Gum Guy was the cherry role for a character actor. If you weren't one of the leads, that really was one of the cherry roles to stand out with. It was written to be that way. And nothing but a blessing has opened up doors ever since it's been released. So I thank all the fans. I thank Kevin. I thank my co-stars. Greatest thing ever.
Brilliant. Marilyn?
Thank you, Scott.
Well, thank you to Wizard World. And thank you, Victor, for an amazing time actually here. And thank you guys for coming on, Kevin and Jason, and just being able to see my guys here, my family. My family. I seriously, it's like, and, you know, I want to thank all the people that have actually out here viewing this as well. But it's nice to say that I'm so happy to have been asked back for Clerks 3. And I honestly can't wait, because I mean, when we shot Reboot, it was nice to be able to go back and be there with the family and get that taste again. But now it's like, now it's not just going to be a taste. It's like going to be in there.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Right. Yeah. 37 tastes. It sounds. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I'm sorry. It was right there.
See, I laid it out for you. I laid it out and I didn't even know it.
I'm sorry.
But, while you're ahead.
Somebody will always find themselves, that, you know, how to get there. But no, I'm very, very, very excited. You know, as I said, it's like, you know, even though it's been quite a difficult year and you know, it's, we're not coming out of it very quickly. Find the good, find the blessings. It's like, I've just been really doing that a lot on my social media, because we have to find something to be thankful for, grateful for, appreciate, and so that it makes all that better.
Of course. Absolutely.
So, yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and occasionally on TikTok.
Okay. Looking forward to that. Look, Muse is like, I'm subscribing.
Oh, that TikTok?
That's right.
I just did one recently with Clerks because it's like somebody was like, you know, tell me you're from the 90s without telling me you're from the 90s. And so I just did the whole Clerks.
I love it. Jay, Kevin, you guys want to say anything to the fans before we get out of here?
I'm going to do my cool OBS like Brian did. Hold on.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
What does OBS mean?
It's a streaming overlay thing.
When I'm streaming, Kevin, you come over. It's the thing that like it goes like ding, ding, ding. It's like it's all the alerts and things when we're on Twitch and we're doing What's in the Box.
Gotcha.
And it, when people, you know, give biddies and stuff like that, it's the software for it. So
there you go.
Oh, look at Brian's animation. He's got a nice little animation like this.
Super dope. Super dope. Open Broadcaster Software is what it stands for. Thank you, Mike, for throwing that in there.
Victor, yes. You actually educated. For me, thank you to everyone that's enjoyed this movie for as long as it's been around. Like when we made it, we did not think that we'd be talking about it nearly three decades later. But that has everything to do with the fact that I have not stopped talking about it for three decades.
Literally. Nor should you.
It's my magic trick. Like, so it's like pulling a coin from behind somebody's ear. And from now until the day I die, I hope it remains that for people like, oh, that's very clever. And they pat me on the head and move on. And so that has afforded me an entire career where I never had to go back to work, so to speak. So I thank everybody for your continued interest in it and whatnot. But remember, when you look at Clerks, the one thing you should walk away with after you're like, either that was funny or that sucked, whatever your opinion of the movie is, you should walk away going like, I could do that. And you absolutely can, man. Express yourself in this life. Make a thing. Make a thing that's yours. It's great to appreciate other people's things. And I thank you for appreciating all of mine. But make a thing that's yours in this life, man. Doesn't matter if it turns into a Marvel movie or it turns into fucking Yoga Hosers or something like that. At the end of the day,
it's still great.
Thank you. At the end of the day, you still have something to show for your time, something that is uniquely yours, your self-expression. Don't leave this world without making something. Doesn't have to be a film, but if you're into film and you watch them all the time, you're like, that'd be fun to do, do it. I'm a chimp and I pulled it off like almost 30 years ago. So trust me, you could do it now because the technology is like, you know, you could do it with this, for heaven's sakes, with your phone. Like we had to rent film equipment and stuff. Don't wait. No help is ever coming. Don't ask people for help. They won't help you out and stuff. People got their own dreams. Jay.
Daddy duty.
Hey, is Logan there?
Yeah, well, she just walked, but she's not dressed appropriate. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, go.
That's how she rolls in Jay's house. Are you got pants on right now, son?
Whoa. Cue goodbye horses. Here it goes. Oh, okay.
It was so flesh colored for a second. I was like,
exactly.
I got nervous. Oh my gosh.
Same here, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so, so very much. Much love to you guys all. I mean, everything you guys have done for the fans and everything has been tremendous. Kevin, when you're ready for Hooper X Jr., I got you. I do want to throw this out there for everyone that's watching. Don't forget, if you're watching on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, those paid exclusive experiences all week long. If you go to wizardworld.com, you'll be able to grab those. Is that Logan?
Come here, Logan. Come here. Hold on. Logan, come here, baby. Come here. You get sit on my lap. Come here. Hold on, I'll keep it. Hold on, let me put you on my lap first, and then we'll. Here, it's okay. You're covered. I know. I'm gonna keep it.
Proof, ladies and gentlemen, Jason has had sex at least once.
Yay! Uncle K. Kevin. Hey, buddy.
I absolutely love it. Once again, I'm Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics for Wizard World, saying thank you guys, everyone that's watching. We appreciate and love you all, and we will see you next time. Peace.
Thank you. Bye. Bye, y'all. Thank you.